Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shaw Marie. I don't know why I say my name like a fucking idiot sometimes. Shaw Marie. Fucking dumb. Anyway, so today's Thursday, the 11th. I think I'm going to start doing that, just pointing out what fucking day it is. And so I woke up this morning and I'm like, ooh, let's check how the Chad Daybell episode's going. Just to find out that it didn't upload. Ugh. So I had to upload it today before doing this one. Stupid technology. Shit don't work. I still fucking hate Chad Daybell, but ugh, goodness. Yeah, and I was livid yesterday when I did that episode. Just so effing mad. Like, the world we live in today is such shit. That why couldn't one thing be nice? Why couldn't those people have just done right by those children? Ugh, it angers me. I can't even handle it. Like, goodness gracious. Ugh, they make me so fucking mad. But yeah. So, yeah. Today's Thursday. And if that's why my episode, like, in front of it, I was like, it didn't upload. That's why. I'm a productive person. I really, really am. I even sneaked off from my family to do it. And I did it. And I was really mad this morning. Because I was like, ooh, it's going to be popping. And it fucking wasn't. It was a good old fat zero. Ooh. Okay. So, for today's Thursday show review, we do show reviews on Thursday. I watched another episode of Raw Terror. Dun, dun, dun. This one's called Left 4 Dead. Not a good title. Very sad. It is season 1, episode 6. It aired on May 27th, 2020. It is from Longford, South Dakota. And we're going to be telling, myself and I am going to be telling you Jessica Gable's story. And her sister, who I have fallen in love with, Shannon, I just fell in love with her because she loves her sister as much as I love my sister, and it just radiates off of her. And her sister was her sister's death was 5 years ago. And you look at this woman and you would think that her sister passed away yesterday. The love is so deep. So, this story broke my heart. One of the main reasons why is this girl hadn't even gone back to her mama's house in over a year, y'all, since her sister had passed away. First time. This is like one of the second times she had gone to her mama's house since her sister had passed away because the pain was just too much. Too much. Okay, so she starts off by telling you, of course, the beginning of Jessica's life, that they were always together. They would drive around the back roads and smoke cigarettes together. And they were just super close. You didn't see one without the other. They were known as like the sisters. If you weren't hanging out with the sisters, you ain't shit. You know, they were just, oh man, her left side, her right side. They completed each other. Sister, sister, dude, fucking sister, sister. And, at 16 years old, Jessica fell in love with a dude named Tim. She had a baby boy. So now she's a proud auntie. Baby, fun. Okay, so we're having fun. We are bringing up the child. They did break up, and so at 21, see, that's when they all broke up, her and Tim, and she starts hanging out with people, even though Tim's like, hey, don't. She's like, hey, get burnt. I'm 21, I'm young, wild, I'm free. I had a baby at 16, I'm about to chill. So, of course, obviously, that's a problem for Tim. So, Tim and Jessica break up. Well, the sisters, and that's how I'm going to refer to them, the sisters, like to go dancing at a place called The Zoo. That place must be bitchin'. So at 21, we're looking hot. These are two beautiful women. We're dancing. We're having fun. Well, Shauna meets John at the zoo in 09. And she says she meets him and she's like, oh shit. Like, you might vibe with my sister. Maybe not. Who knows? So she's hanging out with John on the, like, her own time. Jessica comes over. They see each other. Love at first sight. Now it's a Jessica and a John thing. And they start having kids together. And in 2012, the sisters move in together. And Shauna can feel, like, the bad juju, like, the vibe, and, like, she can feel, like, shit ain't right. Like, these two are a little together. So, like I said, she can feel the bad juju. She starts noticing all the little things, you know, about, like, when you see your siblings and their spouses, like, normally you don't ever catch on to those things, right? Because, like, how long are you really together with your sibling and their spouse? But she lives with them. So she's catching on to the little shit, like, oh, okay, they're mad at each other. So she's getting inside view of the relationship. And I tell you, my brother living in my basement has an inside view of the relationship. There is nothing that we can not hide. You know what I mean? Well, John didn't even let Jessica wear perfume. No smelly good. No smelly good. He called it hoe juice. Hoe juice. Motherfucker. Nothing more do I love than some smelly good. Love me some smelly good. So, Shauna moves out. And she believes she never should have moved out, which I feel so bad. I was not going to say it. I hate when people feel like that shoulda, coulda, wouldas, man. I fucking hate them. I do. I hate them. So Jessica calls her sister and Shauna pretty much tells her in one of these conversations, I can't always fight your battles. You're going to have to fight back and stand up for yourself and let him know you're done being treated like shit. She didn't say all that, the treated like shit part, that was all me. But she just told her, like, you know, sis, like, I can't always come help you and, like, be there. So her and John break up. Okay, and Jessica has the prettiest green eyes I've ever seen. Gorgeous green eyes. She meets a guy named Richard. And her and Richard start dating. And she's dating John, too, at the same time. So, really, we haven't, like, completely broken up. We are just done with the bullshit with John. He's physical. He's verbally abusive, physically abusive. We're fucking done with it. But we just haven't left him yet. But we meet a guy. I believe they meet at work. I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure it's on the episode. But it probably was like a in the potty type of thing. But I'm sure they met at work. And so Richard wanted to move in with her right away. And her and John now have a no contact order, so he is able to come into the home, Richard is, and John's not there. So John would come over when, like, Richard would leave and stuff, and, like, he would go through their house and shit. It was weird. So, after Shauna moves out of the home, Richard obviously starts coming over, kicking it. She starts having her own life. Like, the sisters are, like, they're still close as fuck, okay? But, like, we just don't live together anymore. So we've lost that closeness, which is a horrible, horrible shame. And I'm not 100% sure how long the sisters had not lived together before this tragic accident occurs. Okay. So the day that Shauna leaves her sister's house, they were hanging out with the kids, watching a movie, eating popcorn, and everything else. So she's chilling there. That's why when I said she left the house, I didn't want to, I don't want to confuse you. Anywho, sorry. I'll stop. Every time I try to like over explain, I think I confuse it even more. Anyways, so she's there that day that this happens. I just don't know how long she hasn't lived there. There we go. That was way easier to clarify. So she goes. That day, she kicks it. When she says bye and like they adios, we don't know that that's the last time. Until obviously it's too late to know it's the last time. So on January 7th, 2015, at 2 a.m., John calls 911. He says he's been stabbed by Richard. He says, go check my ex at the house. The kids are still there. They were there when I left. And so the cops do. And when the cops get there, there's no Richard either. So they when they get in the door, you can even like on the episode you'll watch it, the cop goes, oh my God. And they see Jessica almost lifeless, laying on the floor with her throat cut. John's hand is cut, so he's telling the operator, I'm going to the hospital. I got injured. I'm going to the hospital. Go to the house, check on her. I've escaped. I don't know what happened. He says Jessica gets. Oh, he says that Jessica tells him to go get his work clothes and that when she won't be there, she'll be at work. No one will be at the house. It'll be empty. Go get your shit. Get out. Move on with yourself. And then he said, he does. He waits. He goes in when no one's supposed to be home. And Richard is there. He starts saying some shit. He's like, I'm the new man of the house. They get into an altercation. Richard's on parole. And so, like, obviously, there's like a, there's, he claims there's an altercation. He gets stabbed. Jessica comes and tries to break this up. He's not sure. He gives like a very odd story and he has cracked jaw like a motherfucker. It was bugging me. So he says, hey, you know, I'll give DNA to, I'll give my DNA, I'll give everything. Here's my phone. Look through my phone. Me and Jessica, we were on good terms. We were solid. Solid as can be. And so the cops are like, oh, wow, okay. Obviously, John has nothing to fucking do with it because guilty people don't act this way, right? Wink, wink. So Jessica's aunt was at the house when in the episode, and so like the aunt says that like Shauna will never be the same without her sister, and it's just super sad. And that she had seen Jessica with a black eye from John. She would show up to work like that. And it's just so there's a 911 call from Jessica that night, and it's about 6 o'clock, and she's reporting a fight happening, and the call's like disconnected or whatever. And on the call, you can hear her saying, like, John, stop, 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 stop. And then John's call later on. And they don't connect those two for like a second. They do, but like it takes them a second, obviously, to realize there was another 911 call from that same residence earlier in that day. So it takes them a second to like pile all that together. And in the vid, in the movie show, sorry, in the show, your heart will truly break when her sister tries to go back to Jessica's house. It literally broke my heart into a million pieces to watch this sister just be heartbroken, man. So, okay, so they find Richard and they're like, we need to find Richard because Jessica's been life-flighted because, like I said, her throat's been cut, shit's array. The children were left in the home. And so they're like, we need to find fucking Richard. Obviously, Richard knows what happened. He stabbed John. We need to find him. We need to find him now. So they find him. Richard's at an Indian reservation with his dad. He didn't think the cops were going to believe him, so he leaves. He gives up his DNA, but he is beat the fuck up. When they find him, this man is beat up. They're like, no, you have been in an altercation, sir. And he didn't want to go to the ER. He needed to, but he didn't want to go to like a local ER, so he called his mom. He says, take me to the hospital on the res. I need help. The mom does. They go to a hotel, and that's where he's found. Okay? And this whole time at the hospital, we're questioning John, and we're like, bro, what happened? And he has a visible injury. Visible injury. And we're like, what happened? Oh no. Could it be? Oh no. And they're like, well, bro, we're gonna start taking your shit for evidence, okay? And the lady police officer picks up his jacket and she's like, this is weird. This is a little heavy. She feels the pocket and she asks him, do you have a knife in here? They're like, no. In his pocket was the knife handle missing a blade. Like, you didn't even empty your pockets, bro. Ugh. So, the blade was sitting cleaned next to the sink. Shady. And meanwhile, Richard's story checks out. No one, like, they're like, he couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it. So, on January 12th, 5 days of being on life support, with the fact that she might not wake it up at all, she might not know anything when she wakes up, they had to decide to do the worst thing ever and let her go. The hardest thing I could ever imagine. She said she couldn't just sit there and watch her sister die, and so she went and sat with the kids. And that's all. She felt like that was more productive than anything else. And I don't know if I could watch my own sister pass. I honestly think I would have chosen to go sit with the children. So thank God John forgot about the handle. In August 2016, he was charged with first-degree murder. He was found guilty of that in 2007. He was given life without parole. He left their children there, and that was like even more heinous. And they had to sit there while their mother fought for her life on the floor in front of them. So he's a massive amount of horrible fucking piece of shit. And it's just horrible. Poor Shauna got the call at 6 a.m. from her mom saying to hurry to the hospital, hurry to the hospital. Jessica had been stabbed. Could you only imagine getting that phone call? I couldn't even imagine. Like I said, my sister is my baby. Well, both my sisters are very, very, very close to me. And I just. To imagine someone hurting them and especially somebody that I introduced them to would eat me up inside. But Shauna, girl, if you ever for some reason do get a chance to hear this, you're amazing. And I'm glad you no longer blame yourself and you have been able to move on with that at least as much as you have been, because I myself would let that eat me alive, and I'm just, you're an inspiration. The love you share for your sister is outstanding. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's moving. And I just, girl, I felt you. You got me through that screen. I felt your pain. I felt every second of it, and I cried a lot. It is. This podcast has actually helped me get my like cry on. I can cry a lot easier now since I've actually like talked about all this stuff openly and like not in my head. I can cry easier now. It's weird. But like, I don't know, girl. I love you. You were inspirational. And I know your sister has no ill ill thought towards you whatsoever, man. There's no way she could. Your love for her was outstanding. And I can't even. So, girl, may your sister rest. That just, it broke my heart. You got me. And she also said that filming herself was not easy, which I don't assume it would be, especially talking about something so horrible. But, like, she said saying it out loud helped her. And, guys, I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe in therapy and you don't want to go to therapy or you can't afford therapy or whatever, you know, just whatever. If you can't afford it, you have no one to talk to, or you just feel like you have a lot to say or a lot in your mind, I'm going to give you a helpful tip. Literally recording yourself, even if no one ever, ever, ever hears what you have to say. It is so relieving. It's weight lifting. It brings you peace just to get all the things you have in your head out. It's not good to keep all those thoughts in. Even just to sit in her room and be like, oh, fuck that piece of shit, motherfucking cunt ass bitch, blah, 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 blah. Say it out loud. No one has to hear you. Say it out loud. And even if you do record yourself shit, play that back a couple of days later and look at either the slope or the high. You know what I mean? There's a graph of life, dude, and you're either gonna stay on a steady fucking slope. If that's the way your life goes, you're going to stay on that sled. You're going to go sloping. You're never going to have that uplift. And hopefully you do. But if you record yourself and you just, not even just recording yourself, if you get all that weight of just the shit you keep in your mind off of you, you will see that slope, dude, it's going to rise. It's going to rise because you're getting it out. It is poison to keep things in your head, especially when you have feelings of guilt, remorse, sorrow, and it will just make you feel so much better, especially with death. Like, it, just to be able to say whatever it is to that loved one you need to say to get that pain and everything off. And like a little, what I do, I like to talk to my grandma. My grandma passed away of breast cancer. She fought the fight for 2 battles of it. The woman was amazing. Literally the most amazing woman I've ever come across in my life. She was very LDS. Even on her deathbed, she was very concerned that she couldn't go to temple and do her temple part. I know I cuss a lot. Shocking, right? And even in front of my grandma, man, my grandma accepted me for who I am, loud, proud, and obnoxious. The lady always stood by me through thick and thin. And so when she passed away, out of fear, I didn't go see her. Because knowing she was declining killed me. And my grandma had a wake while she was alive, like a lunch kind of. Pretty much so that she would see who would show up to her funeral so that she could thank them for attending and caring. And she was just that amazing of a person that she wanted to thank you for acknowledging her death. And she was amazing. Like, I can't say that enough. But even since she's passed, it brings me such relief just to sit in a room, acknowledge the quiet, and acknowledge the silence, and just talk to her, and get it out, and just, I don't know, you know? I do it with my best, like, my one of my dearest best friends passed away, and I do it with her all the time. I talk to her about shit, and it, like, I don't know, you guys. Moral of that is just, don't keep your shit bottled up. Literally watching this sister, you can see that she says it and she's like, I don't blame myself anymore. I've kind of gotten past that. But you can see that it's a lie and that this woman holds so much in. And then you, like, on the ID channel, they'll show the actual show and then they'll do like a little 8-minute thing afterward where it's like, after the filming of Raw Terror. And you can just see that it really did. You guys, it really does help you to get all that out and just to say it out loud. Like, I feel responsible. I let you down. Or whatever the situation is, let it out. Don't carry that bullshit with you. Don't. I refuse to. And it's irritating for other people, especially around me, but I don't like to go back. I don't like to revisit yesterday, unless, of course, it's something important. But, like, I choose to not go to yesterday. Yesterday is, in my opinion, no longer valid. We cannot change anything that happens. We cannot do anything about what happened. All we can do is what is today and what is tomorrow. Yesterday no longer matters. So just record it or get it out or write it down, set it on fire. I mean, God, guys, there's just so many ways to get your emotions out and not have to keep them in. But literally, guys, watching this show, it shows you the power of speaking on things that you keep inside, and especially hard topics. And these families recording their accounts of what happened is very amazing and very therapeutic for them and for people who watch it, I believe. But yeah, so that's the story of Jessica Gabel. And she was a very beautiful soul, and her sister does an amazing, amazing job of telling her sister's story. So please go watch it. It's Raw Terror, Left for Dead. Like I said, I don't like the title, but beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The sister's love, man, just a sibling's love is untouchable. Anywho, so follow me on Facebook at It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast, and that's also my YouTube name. And then on Instagram at It Is What It Is Pod 19, no spaces, all one word. And on Twitter at It Is What It Is 208. Follow me on Twitter at It Is What It Is 208, because that's where I'm fucking from. Representing the Idaho. But yeah. Ugh. Sisters. Makes me cry every damn time. So, love your sister. Love your siblings. And keep it classy. And I love every fucking one of you. Please have a good week until we go to Sunday. Please. With all the shit in the world, make it to Sunday. At least to listen to me. Bye, guys.